You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are. Good morning, Sweat, Snot and Tears team. How are we all today? I would like you all to know this is a formal announcement that I have had my vaccine. The side effects were a little ugly for a while, but I've come with a warning for parents. I think that you should all, if you're booking your vaccines, make sure that you have it on a separate day to your partner. Because should you both be taken down with the side effects like I was, it would leave your children running free and feral for the rest of the day, which is not to be advised. So please take it from me that you need to go separately. And I would say leave at least a week between the two. Wendy, you with me?
Well, I'm going to do the game of one-upmanship because I have got my second vaccine on Thursday next week.
How did you get it? How did you get it so fast?
Well, because my brother is so vulnerable.
Right.
When he had his care team put in a little pitch for us to have ours as well. So should my parents not be able to look after him, I can. But I felt awful after my first one. So I'm really hoping I don't feel awful this time.
I've heard rumours that if you feel bad after one, you're all right the next time.
Was that Twitter telling you that?
No, my mother, who is a medical professional, everyone will have to know.
I'm sorry, that's the dog. Shush.
No one prepared me of how much it hurts your arm.
Yes, it is. Well, I think we need to ask our guest if he's had the vaccine, because I suspect he's too young and too sprightly to have had it yet.
Yes, I reckon. So today we are joined with none other than TV and radio presenter, musical theatre star, but most importantly, Strictly winner, Ori Aduba. How are you?
Oh, g'day, guys. G'day. You said sprightly, Wendy. I'm looking around the room going, who are you talking about? Because there's no gazelles here. But in answer to your question, I haven't had the vaccine, but I have had COVID. Does that give me a level of...
Right, we want all the details. Was there sweat? Was there snot? Was there tears?
It was... There has been so much of that. We've needed like 10 mops over the last year, Annie. We actually... It's funny that you said don't do your vaccine at the same time, couples, because we both got COVID at the same time. And was March last year, you know, when it all kicked off. And I basically came home from a tour. I was doing the Curtains tour. I was doing a UK tour. I came home. Everything got cancelled. Came home just before lockdown. And my entire company, we were on WhatsApp, and the entire company, we were literally dropping like flies. Everybody was going, are you feeling terrible?
Seriously?
Are you feeling... This is before any of the information that we know now. So even the idea of isolating, what does quarantine mean? Can we do it within one house? We didn't really know what to do. And before we knew it, my wife, Portia, also got COVID. And so for about 10 days, we were both in a terrible way.
So were you both quite poorly with it?
Really bad. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was manageable. It was like a really bad flu. And so we were both kind of completely debilitated. And actually, you know, we have a 3-year-old. Roman was essentially,
which is
making...
debilitating in itself, can we just say?
He had to be the one that was leading the house, I tell you. No, we got through it. I actually got over it much quicker than my wife. And so
it's not a competition.
Absolutely not a competition, but I certainly had to up my game to be able to make sure that I was looking after everybody. But the legacy of it was the no smell and no taste.
Have you still got that?
The longest time I would be in a long COVID situation, and I think things would be in a really bad way. No, I haven't still got that. That lasted for about 2 weeks. I couldn't smell. And my wife couldn't smell or taste.
Wow.
And that for her was the hardest thing, because even, you know, we couldn't look forward to food. She couldn't taste food, and she found that really, really hard. And the first thing that I smelt when I knew that my lack of my sense of smell had gone, the first thing I smelt was my son's poo.
Wow,
so
isn't that lovely?
And
back to reality.
It was It was really lovely. I can't tell you the jubilation that I felt. Because now, he had also been, and he'd been constipated. We'd been trying to potty train him. And finally, he was pooing and I could smell it. It was like a double whammy of joy.
Win-win.
And yeah, yeah.
So Roman's how old? Is he 3 now?
Mm-hmm.
Did he have COVID?
No, he's like, he must be an X-Man or something, because the level of exposure that
he's... Well, yeah, with 2 parents with it.
Yeah, and somehow he managed to completely, like, I mean, at the time we obviously didn't test him, we would just keep keeping ourselves to ourselves. But his nothing changed about him. His engagement and his enthusiasm and his vibrancy never dipped, actually. So in many ways, he got us through COVID. We're really grateful, because it was a worry. It was a genuine worry. 2 parents suffering from COVID. We've got to somehow keep our boy.
So how did you do it? How did you tag team it? Or how did you keep him alive?
Well, I've been asking ourselves that question for 3.5 years. it was hard. It was really hard. We just had to muddle through. Like I said, I got over it a little bit more quickly. So it meant that one of us at least was able to cook and clean and look after Ro. And Portia was pretty bedbound for about a week. So it was tough, but you'd find a way to manage.
And you adapt.
That's parenting full stop, isn't it?
I remember when my daughter, my second child, was a newborn. She was only a couple of weeks old. We both got norovirus and we were literally... Yeah, it was really fun. We were literally having to pass her between us through the night while we took it in turns to vomit.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I still wonder now how we survived that little episode, but you do, and that is the joy of being a family, isn't it?
It's so funny you should say that, because one of my great friends has become a dad this week. And,
congratulations to friend.
He's been sending kind of texts from the coal face. He's in Zurich, so we can't go and see them or do anything to help. And he was saying, oh, my God, I now realise you took Chloe to the pub when she was a month old. And I was like, yeah. He was like, I'm never leaving the house again. I don't know how you do it. And it's really funny, because he's obviously like, my kids are 9 and 5 now. So we're kind of, life starts to become a little bit more bearable about then. And he's just like, there's shit everywhere. And when it's not shit, it's sick. She's like laying in bed crying. I don't know what to do. I'm just like, that first few weeks.
Welcome to the gang.
But you've been really candid about how hard it is going from being a couple to being parents.
Yeah.
So did you find it like that? How have you learned? What have you learned from it?
Gosh, I've had a number of friends like yours, Wendy, who've had babies recently. And I tried to remember what those first 6 months or so were like, and there is definitely something scientific. I don't know what the research says, but surely your brain and body just chooses to forget.
It has to,
because otherwise you would never have more children, right? So I've actually struggled to try to remember those gory details of how we got through the sleepless nights, sleep deprivation, which way does a nappy go around? If we have a bath, is he going to drown? All those kind of things. I've the struggle to get to remember those. But what I always wanted to make sure that was kind of an anchor, as soon as it became apparent, I was like, this I need to make sure is always at the forefront of my mind. Because that dynamic shift from 2 to 3 was something that we really struggled with. We obviously didn't identify it as a big thing. We had been so looking forward to him being a part of our lives. We were ready to dote, to give all of our attention, to make sure that, you know, we gave our kids, our baby, the best opportunity to be the best human possible, and completely forgot about the other person in that equation. And I think it must have, I don't know that there was one massive apparitional moment, but I think over a course of a few weeks, over the course of a number of arguments, raised voices and tantrums, and not just from the newborn. I think it was that made me think, do you know what? What's happened? I think we've just forgotten the reason why he's here, and that's because of the two of us and the fact that we love each other. as soon as we realised that and we identified that the two became the three, like, that was the start of the healing, really. And it was like, okay, we're not going to be the just healing. The two of us anymore.
I love that.
But it was, I know, it sounds dramatic, but I guess something had kind of...
No, I'm with you.
Our textbook, you know, like, that we'd written up for the however long, 7 years that we'd been together, was like ripped to shreds. How are we going to piece it all back together? And I think the first thing was realizing, okay, we're not two anymore, we're three. How are we going to make sure that we have the foundation of us as a family? Like, basically, she's doing as best as she can, you're doing as best as you can. As long as we love each other and we, like, can consider each other, then we'll be fine. Doesn't need to be the source of an argument because, well, naturally, they just appear.
But it's interesting you say that, because we are, that moment where you're thrown into two becomes three.
I don't think that however close a friend you are with someone, however much you love them, if they are about to become a parent for a first time, nothing that you say can prepare someone for that shift from two to three. I don't think you can sit them down and tell them all of the things about it, but ultimately you've got to do it yourself and be at the coal face with poo on your trousers. And I don't know, do you think you can warn people?
Yeah, and everybody's dynamic is so different. You know, I remember I've got a really good friend, one of my really good friends, Ian Sterling, who's the voice of Love Island. Obviously, him and Laura have become parents. So I always remember, and I never said it, but it really peed me off, that you and Portia never had an argument. You never did that. So we were together before we had kids for 7 years. We never really had an argument. Might have had a couple of drinks and then had a bit of a tizzy about nothing in particular. But no, we didn't until we became parents. And so our change from literally from 0 to 100, we had to, wow, what are we going to... How do we do that? Because I genuinely thought she wanted to divorce me. We have never had this relationship where you're getting angry at me for something I kind of don't know. I think you don't like me, so there's fractions there. And so we had to deal with that. Whereas some people might be arguing every other hour of the day and still love each other just as much. The idea of arguing again because you've got a kid is like bread and butter. So... I remember one of the biggest pieces of advice I got was, you will get given advice. Take it and leave it in the same breath.
How funny. That's the one piece of advice my husband gives anyone who's had a baby is, don't listen to any of the advice that people give you. Because everyone has an opinion, and what worked for you and what worked for Annie wouldn't have worked for me. And you do just have to find your own way, don't you?
Mm. And hey, that's not to say that you might not smash it out of the park from day one. And some people do, and you know, hallelujah to them. But but it's definitely difficult. And you know, having said that, this last year has been the hardest. I thought becoming parents the first time was hard. This has been the hardest time in our 10 years of being together.
We're hearing this from everyone.
Yeah, because it's just a completely, you know, and having got over that difficulty, I'm like, now we can do anything.
But tell me, what in particular was so hard for you?
One of the big things was the fact that, you know, I love Portia with all my heart, guys. I don't want to be that mushy, sensitive guy, but I am. I really am. And actually, she hates me for it sometimes because I'm way too honest about that. But what I'm trying to say in a nutshell is Portia was the first person that I liked her and she liked me back. It was very simple. There wasn't any game playing from day dot. We just got on. So when I felt like I was doing the same thing in parenthood and it was coming back in all sorts of different ways, I was like, this is not part of our relationship that I've ever known or had to deal with. So I found that really hard. But like you said, we you know, we managed it and we got through it. On the practical side of parenting, the most difficult thing was the bond. Because again, like being a husband and getting married, being a dad and having my own family was the dream. You know, I'd grown up dreaming of having my own family and having a kid you know, in your likeness, 50% of your mum, 50% of you. You're the best thing that we've ever created. I can't wait to guide you in life and, you know, just give you the opportunities that I hope you'll have going forward. But you don't really like spending time with me because every time you come close, you start crying. And so, and that goes on for weeks and weeks and months. So that was really hard because you go, obviously, you know, he's breastfeeding. The connection to mum is literally is nature personified. So there's nothing you can do, but you cannot not take it personally. It's really hard for whichever partner that is that finds that they are subordinate. It is really hard to not take it personally because when you lay it out, I think I'm being brilliant, right? Kid, son, I'm here for you. I want to give you all my love, but you don't want to give it back. That naturally you're going to take personally. It's not personal. It's just babies.
And when did it change then? Because you sound like it has changed.
Yeah, oh gosh, it changed. It, as soon as he started taking the bottle, it changed. But that wasn't for till maybe he was 7 months old. It was a big moment for me because he'd breastfed for maybe 5 months, and then Portia started expressing, and then we started to try to feed so we could share the responsibility, so she could have a bit more time to herself. All of those things, those functional things. Me, in my role, I'm all about functionality. Let's think of a strategy. Let's plan. How are you going to find the time to be yourself? You know, all that kind of stuff.
That's such a bloke thing to do.
It is, but you know, in the running of our house, it needs to happen, guys. So we started trying to express, and he just wasn't for it. It just was not working for a really long time. And then as soon as he did, and one of the advice that we had been given that did actually come to play was persistence. We just had to keep, we had to push through that wall. And he did. And it was like hallelujah. It was like that. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And from that point on, we've been great.
But you also said the last year has been your hardest year in terms of parenting. Obviously, we know why. There's been a pandemic. It's been tough on all parents. But what have you found so tough about the last year as a parent and as a human?
I think, again, it's the dynamic, really, because after having got over those first months of newborn and being parents for the first time and figuring that out, you know, you have a family map that works. As it was, I was spending a lot of time on tour. I spent the last year or so away, you know, back and forth between. Portia, her, you know, she was queen of the castle, and Ro was doing his thing. Pandemic strikes, we've got to change it up. We've got to figure out a new role and responsibility. We're all in the house. Okay, what am I going to bring to it? Am I going to step on Portia's toes? Partly because I do think that way. I do think kind of in a functionality. I do want to be able to bring something. I'm always trying to think, how can I be the most considerate person? Do I need to do? And naturally, there's going to be those clashes. So meanwhile, Ro was doing his, you know, Ro was being Ro. And actually, in many ways, he was kind of the shining light. He got us up in the morning, he forced us to feed him and to feed ourselves many times, because all you want to do is stick yourself under a pillow and never come out. And that's not even having COVID. That's just Tuesday. he was great. I think it was just that figuring out how we're going to make this work. And I think by the time it actually came to the third lockdown, actually, the idea of hunkering down and hibernating and just being a three, because we'd figured it out, you know, we were getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning because Ro was getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We would do a workout together. Somebody would take him to school. We just had a system. And I think we didn't have a system in the first half of the pandemic, but by the new year, we kind of figured
found
it out.
Your lockdown groove.
This is how we found the groove. That's exactly it. And
but one question for you: was it harder for you to be locked down because you're so used to being touring and being away for Strictly, I guess.
I mean, on Strictly, you know, it was Portia and I were just the two of us. And I think had we had a kid at the same time as doing it, it would have been a completely different outcome. The experience would have been different. You know, Portia and I just got married by the time I started in, September 2016. Those heady days. What was that all about? And so the idea of doing a show like Strictly, we did it together. It was a way of throwing both of us into it. You know, Portia was she was like the cheerleader, the psychologist, the assistant choreographer, my manager, chief masseuse, chief critic. I'll tell you that, Annie, straight away. You send my wife a clip of my Friday rehearsal. She will come back with an A5 jotter full of notes.
She knew
exactly how to play that one. And so we were able to just go headfirst into it. We didn't have to think about anybody else. And so I doffed my cap to everybody who, whether it was work being full on and those early breakfast shifts that some people have had to do, or, you know, coming home after having had a full day rehearsal and then having to feed the kids or get them up for school and all that stuff. We were lucky. The timing was perfect for us that I could throw myself fully into the Strictly experience. It changed our lives.
So I think we're getting a good sense of you that you're a very honest man. I want to know all about the Peppa Pig Raisin Scratch Attack that you wrote about on Instagram that got you so much praise from parents because everyone knew what that felt like.
Set the scene.
Let me set the subtitle is always cut your child's nails once a week minimum.
Yeah.
Because they grow like vines. Oh my God. You know, the idea of your kid not being happy because you don't give them something, that's not new. They want a snack and they want it now. But I guess up to this point, this is in the summer, and I've become, and I'm so, it's a very proud part of my role being the bag dad.
My husband is bag dad as well.
I'm the bag dad, backpack dad, rucksack dad, whichever kind of dad you want to call it. You know, I've got the bag of stuff.
And the answer to any question is, it's in dad's bag.
It's in the bag. He knows, you know, he'll be running around in the park. It was in the summer. We'd gone out. All it was we'd gone out for a little walk and we'd gone for a little sit on the grass. It was as simple as he wanted a pack of Peppa Pig raisins. And good luck going down that aisle in Tesco without coming home with them. So it was as simple as him wanting a packet of raisins. I wasn't going to give it to him immediately. You know, you've got to know that sometimes things don't come to you straight away, son. His response to that moral lesson was to lash out. And he scratched me in the face. And when that happens for the first time, like, all of your animal instincts of, you know, you fight or flight. But at the same time, hold on, I haven't been attacked by a tiger in the jungle. You know, I felt like I'd been tangoed. So I was like, what just happened? And, I put a picture up sort of documenting this because, you know, you put lots of, as it was a really loving kissing. He was giving me a kiss while I was sort of throwing them up in the air. And it was a lovely picture because we had a lovely day. But during that afternoon, he had scratched me in the face for the first time, lashing out completely irrationally. And so it was just a real talk moment, I guess, of just, you know, sometimes you've got to look beyond the pictures on social media because, there are difficult moments amongst them. But yeah, he got his raisins eventually.
Were you surprised by the reaction? Like, it got written up by quite a lot of newspapers who were like, parents everywhere are just saying, God, he understands us. Did you know you'd hit a nerve?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. And sometimes you spend quite a lot of time wondering, what's the captain going to be with this picture? And often the truth really is the one that hits the nerve. I guess it's the fact that everybody has had that. There are scratched noses all over the country for people not having given.
I think Peppa Pig has a lot to answer for. That some of the tantrums in my house that have been, Peppa, man.
Let's blame Peppa.
Let's blame Peppa.
So, can we blame Paw Patrol and Cocomelon at the same time?
Yeah, Paw Patrol. Yes. But now I hate myself. Whenever I say the words Paw Patrol, the bloody song comes in my head. And then I can't get it out for the rest of the day.
Well, not everyone listening is doing it, though.
I know, on the double, right. Wendy.
So what is next for you? I've heard it might involve stockings.
Oh, Wendy, how you tease me. How you tease. Yeah. This is happening. Very soon, I am going to be playing the role of Brad Majors in the UK tour of The Rocky Horror Show.
Which is amazing. How the dickens did that come about?
Good question, Annie. I asked myself the same question when they asked me to be in the show. I was like, are you talking to the right guy? Though at the time I thought, the Rocky Horror Show, you know, has been going 40, 45 years.
Well, it's probably iconic, isn't it? It's not just any old show.
And it's more than the Time Warp. The Time Warp is the iconic tune that everybody knows. Everybody knows the dance. But the idea of the show, you know, we're going to this transsexual Transylvania. It's a completely different world. These two timid characters, Brad and Janet, they turn up at this castle looking to get married. You know, they're so naive to the world. And then they enter Riff Raff. Boom. And then it all changes. And before they know it, they're in their knickers wearing high heels and stockings. And I'm talking about Brad. So, very quickly, I was like, actually, do you know what? That makes so much sense for me. What a way to come back after the year we've had and show a different side. So that's next. Yeah, we're going to tour the UK from July.
How long have you been rehearsing for?
Not yet, Annie, at the time of recording. Yeah, so we won't be rehearsing until June.
You had to learn your bits in your bedroom.
I am.
And then you'll all show up one day.
No. The only question that really matters is, are you going to shave your legs?
Oh.
Are we going smooth or are we going hairy?
Can I just let you in on a little bit of the process of that? And maybe you will be the ones offering me some advice as to how to tackle this. Because at one point in the show, a number of points in the show, I'll be wearing the heels, I'll be wearing stockings, I'll be wearing suspenders and a corset, okay? Corsets may be less of a deal for this. We're talking about shaving. And what parts? I was having a photo shoot involving me wearing that bottom half. Nobody told me what to do. So I went, what's going to be out? What will they see? I ended up shaving patches of my, like, below the waist area. There were parts of my bum, like inside thighs. I was like, crotch. I should have just shaved it all, but I didn't have much time. And, you know, it was evening. So I was like, the last thing I want to do now is for Roman to wake up, come out the door and see his dad.
I wonder what dad's doing.
What is that, dad? What's that? This is a scarred for life moment. So do you know what? I don't know which bits to shave, Wendy.
Maybe you need to speak to former Brads.
But listen up, seriously, I don't want to be too woke about it all, except I quite like being woke. But aren't the kids nowadays not doing any of that shenanigans? Aren't we all just letting it hang loose and going with the body hairs?
Oh, you could totally let it hang loose. But if some of those hairs catch in the G-string and girdle,
ooh.
I mean, that's not pain on anybody else. This is a personal problem.
So you're talking health and safety
I'd suggest a wax, I think. Shaving ingrown hairs, bad times.
I've got a set of clippers I could use exclusively for my downstairs area.
Maybe you could ask Portia to help.
She doesn't need to do that.
And tell me, how is the heels? How are the heels coming along? Are you having to walk around the house in the heels to practice, or what's going on?
They have had to bespoke make my heels because of my clown feet. There are no heels in circulation that will fit my feet. So, I haven't had them yet. I'm waiting for them to arrive. And then in rehearsal, there'll be like a there will be like a whistle stop, like military kind of, here's how you sing, dance and move about in heels training, I'm sure.
Advice, you're going to have to wear them around the house. It's the only way.
I will. But that feeling between carpet and hard floor, maybe I'll go out in the grass. If I can handle it on the grass, then surely I can handle it on a raked stage in Llandudno. You know, I think I should be okay. But I'm not worried. Do you know what? I've worn a heel before, not only on a Strictly dance floor. The funny thing is there's I've been cross-dressing for a lot of my life, more than I can actually remember. So this won't be a problem. I'm not worried, guys.
That's why they picked you.
Yeah, they saw the pictures of me dressed as Victoria Beckham in 1999 and thought, that's our Brad right there.
Oh, there we go. The secret's out. Now, I want to talk to you about the fact that you are annoyingly multi-talented, right? So you can obviously, you've got this whole musical theatre, you can sing and dance. We know this about you, right? You've got that going on.
Okay.
You went, but you did sport at university at Loughborough, right? Which also means that A, you're sporty, but B, you're clever, because that's not an easy university to get into.
Right? Continue, please.
And so you're a presenter, you can do TV, you can do radio. Like, well, how would you describe yourself? Which of the things do you like or enjoy the most? And how are we not supposed to hate someone who is so good at stuff? I guess what I'm trying to get at is, have you ever had to try anything? Because it kind of feels like you give it a go and it all turns to gold.
That is the loveliest backhanded compliment I've received today. So thank you for that.
She's good at them. It's her special skill.
Oh, my gosh. Again, you know, it's very easy to see one side without and not see the struggle. That's not to say that I haven't been incredibly lucky. One of the things that I actually count as being lucky is that knowing at 16 that I wanted to work in television. And that meant that at 16, I was able to try and join the dots a little bit and go, okay, well, I'm not going to waste the next last 2 years of my life. I'm not going to go to university I don't want to be at, to then get to sort of working adult stage and go, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, I'd had 5 years working towards it. Yes, I got lucky with the timing of things. You know, I remember I graduated from Loughborough University and I started presenting at CBBC 2 weeks later. And that kind of timing
See what I mean? All the good things happen to you. You're just stealing all the good luck. That's me and Wendy, we're going to have some of that.
Well, it's there. It's there. I will share. There is a cup somewhere at the end of it. You just have to sell a bit of your soul. And if you're happy to do that, it will come back in droves. No, I have been incredibly lucky. But I've you know, the work that happens behind the scenes, and don't get me wrong, I've had a hell of a lot of no's. But it's funny, that even the way I'm talking, I mean, you asked me at the start of us chatting about, you know, what it was like in the first few months of being a parent, and I try to be a supremely positive person in that I try not to think about the things that have the negatives and the no's, because though they shape you, and I use them all as motivation to dwell on them, I don't dwell on them to the point I actually forget that they happen. So there have been some pretty dark times, some pretty sad moments, and some pretty difficult no decisions that I've had to take on. But yeah, the fact that I'm now doing musical theatre in many ways is a nod to something that I did when I was 13. You know, when I was a kid and a teenager at school, I did a lot of theatre, and actually the idea of doing it as a job between my school and my family just never really was an option. And so 20 years later, 20, 25 years later, I'm now doing something that I loved doing as a kid, and that's come with 20 years of hard work, I guess. So, I'm trying to take away the backhand slap, but it still stings.
No, I'm going to ask you a nice question.
I just think it's incredible that you can be good at so many things. I just think it's a marvel.
Thank you. No, I know those kids at school. I hated them. I hated them too. Those kids that were at every single sport and they were all so top of their class. I wasn't that kid. I'll tell you that for free. I was not that kid. I was not that clever. I did love sport and I loved being on stage. And that was where I really expressed myself, really. My parents were crazy on the curriculum and they were always asking how I was going to do my exams. And I remember actually going on holiday with my friends after my A-levels. And I'd always used to hide my report card because I didn't want my dad to read it. Like it would come through and could see exactly where it was on the envelope that it had come from my school. And I hid it from him until the very last one, the most important one. And my dad read it and he said, if you don't get the grades that you need to get to university, you are not going on your trip away after your A-levels. And like my whole world sunk. Thankfully, I got them. But, you know, the reality really, really set in. I wasn't clever. But I've tried the things I love, the things I express myself most in. That's what I've really focused in on and tried to make them work, and I've been lucky that they have.
Do you think that's the secret, that you end up doing really well at something that you love because you naturally pour more of yourself into it?
I mean, the old adage is obviously, you know, you do a job that you love, you never work a day in your life. And I didn't know that necessarily at the time, but one of the few things, you remember having those careers advisors talks at school?
They were dire.
I remember there being a book about television somewhere, a dusty old 1970s book somewhere on the shelf. Is this really? I don't even think they use those cameras anymore. So they didn't really know. But the idea of it was you can do whatever you want. And I think quite early on in my life, you know, what's great now, and maybe after lockdown, we're finding so many different ways of being creative. People are finding different paths and going, do you know what? I've been doing this for so long. There was a natural break, a stop in my life. I could do something else. And they're figuring out what is it that's going to make them happy. I was fortunate that at 16, I wanted to do something that was going to make me happy, the thing that I really was going to love. So, yeah, I did pour all of my effort into that. Some seriously crazy late nights doing student television up until 6 o'clock in the morning at university going, this is what I did. I won an award, actually. My mum was like, what's that for? I said, that was the student TV, actually. I've been doing it for about 3 years. She was like, I don't know what any of that means. Thanks, mum. She's pretty happy about it now. Oh, she loves it.
I bet she is.
Yeah, she was like, oh, tell all my friends. Yeah, okay.
But which of all of these things, how would you like to be remembered by Roman? What's the thing that you want to be remembered for by your
kids? I mean, my favourite job is being a dad. It is. It's nice when he's seen me on telly, and my wife sent me videos of when I've been on The One Show, for example, and he's sort of pointed at the telly and just shouted, Daddy, and... In fact, actually, I remember one of the most amazing moments was I was doing Panto in Croydon at Christmas 2019, and the family came and Roman came, and he would have been two at the time. And I remember I make my entrance as Dandini, and I come down on stage, I do a couple of spins, and I stand there. And before I started talking, the only voice, after the light ripple of applause, ladies... the only voice that I could hear was this high-pitched shout from a two-year-old going, Daddy, it's Daddy, look!
Oh, that's so gorgeous.
And I could barely get my next words out. It's amazing. So I'm lucky to do something that I really hope that he admires. But actually, I kind of want something that I don't think is possible. I want to do something in my work life that he aspires to, that he loves and is really proud to tell his friends, but also I want to be there and present. And naturally, in my line of work, you've got to be away. You've got to spend time away from home. So I know I'll be absent as well, quite a lot. And if the big positive I've taken out of this year is that I've spent pretty much an entire year watching my son grow up, and he will get to 18, flee the house, never want to be a part of our lives ever again, as they do. And I will never have that time again. So it's been really, really special. But how do I want him to remember him? I want him to be able to look up to me. And that will probably take a few different shapes.
The suspenders will help, I'm sure.
You know, those pictures will be brought out at many a Christmas. and they are shocking, but hopefully in a way that people buy tickets, but we'll leave that to the public.
Now, to a much more serious question. It's always the penultimate question on this pod. What's for tea and who's cooking?
Well, today is the day the delivery arrives.
Oh, it's always the best day. It's the best day. You should have the best tea that day.
We've got 7 days of choice. It could be.
What are you going to have?
Any of them. Well, do you know what? It was Portia's turn to do the list this week. So
you don't know. It's a surprise.
I don't know. It's a surprise, but I can
tell
you. It's
like being at a restaurant.
I can tell you tomorrow I'm having steak pie. That it's not tonight, but very soon. I'm already looking forward to it because when we discussed it on the list, I said, please, steak pie on Friday with
good one
red cabbage from M&S. That's that's not an ad. Yeah. That's just me saying it.
But I think between us all, we all know the best red cabbage comes from M&S.
It does. It's amazing. So,
but wait, are you just having the pie and the cabbage? Might there be a bit of mash or a chip?
Oh, there's sweet potato mash in there. Okay. And actually, we talked about an onion gravy, but I love the juice of a steak pie that I actually just want to keep that dry. I might just have a condiment, maybe a little bit of mustard or mayo on the side, but I'm going to keep it. And the steak is going to give it all. And anything else is a bonus.
Lovely. Now, I like knowing these details. Do you eat with Roman? Does he eat first? Do you eat when he's in bed? How does all this work for you guys?
Yeah, we mix it up. Because he goes to bed at seven. He eats first usually. But we actually recently bought a dining table, which helps.
Wow, that's very grown up. Isn't it?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it took about 4 months to arrive. Damn you, shipping containers in China. But it eventually came. So that's totally encouraged us all to sit down. And at the weekend, if we're having a roast and we're having something to share amongst us, yeah. And he loves that when we're all sitting down. But don't get me wrong. Often it is you eat, you bath, you bed.
Yes.
And then mum and dad can regain the evening.
Then it's mum and dad at time. And also I need to know who largely does the cooking. Is it you or is it Portia?
That totally mixed, actually. Yeah, we share that, which is great. I'm very lucky because she is an amazing cook. I kind of just cook one pot stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, the flavouring is to die for, but only one pot. One thing to
wash up. Yes, another thing that you're good at. All right, I see.
Well, I haven't been graded, Annie. I'm talking very subjectively here.
Well, we're going to test how good he is now, because the last question that we always ask our guests, invented by Annie, which is the caveat I say at the beginning of every time. Imagine you're tucking Annie and I into bed. In a nice way. And sing us your family lullaby.
Wow.
What do you sing when Roman can't go to sleep or when he's sad?
Well, the last song that I sing is Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Right now we have a Bing story.
Love Bing.
Hate Bing.
I love Bing.
That's it. That's the polar
Bing's
opposite
nice.
Right there.
Makes me Bing really is moaning. Angry.
Annie, Bing is moaning. I love him, but he is
Bing
moaning.
Bing is
you
a moany little shit.
But that's what's funny about it.
No, it's not. He just needs some discipline.
Team Bing.
It's got terrible grammar too. But I mean, we can't hold it against it. It's four or five.
Back to the singing.
So we have a Bing story. I recite him because I couldn't be bothered flipping the pages. There was an In the Night Garden, really short book that he always loved about a year ago. And ever since, I always read him this In the Night Garden story, or he calls it Pip-Pip because that's his name for Iggle Piggle. So I recite him. I've learnt it. I mean, it was really hard. It's about 6 pages long, guys. So I recite him that, and then that's followed up with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Usually people pay at least £25 for this. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder. I'm adding a little vibrato for you.
Like
what you are up above the world so high. It's really high today. Like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you, Wendy, Annie, are.
Woohoo!
You went all CBeebies on us then.
You were such a CBeebies pro there. Such a CBeebies pro.
I know Reggae John Page, but if that helps get you to sleep, then, you know, whatever we can do.
Thank you so very much. What a fun way to spend a morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Lovely to speak with you too.
Right, thank you so much. Please, can you send us a picture of you in the heels when they arrive?
Do you want me to show you now?
Yes.
Sadly, for the listeners, this is not one that they can enjoy yet. But when it's on my side, this is just for you guys.
But wait for our reactions. Listen to our reactions. Yeah.
For the listener, I'm afraid that you will not get this until it has been posted on social media. But for Wendy and Annie, here is something that, you know, as a 13-year-old, always dreaming of becoming a stage performer, getting into musical theatre, did I ever think that I would be doing this? No, but it is a reality.
Wow.
Whit
you've wing. Got, you've got, yeah. Wow.
I can see the shaving
They're
issue
pointy.
Now.
I'm worried they're going to hurt your toes.
So those were not the bespoke ones, sadly. You can see...
Oh, was there a pinch?
There's a little hangout at the back there. But I've been told they're going to do something about that. So yeah, but I am definitely tensing, by the way.
Listeners, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's a strong look.
I don't know how to carry on my Thursday now, if I'm honest.
I will send you a poster. You can put that in your bedroom.
Please do. Right, have a great day. All right, enjoy your steak pie tomorrow night.
Will do. Take care, guys. Lots of love.
Thank you.
Lots of love too. Bye.